good morning, everyone. We're going to have a look in God's Word this morning in Genesis, and from verse 26 through to the end of the chapter. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, all of the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
We're on? You can hear me? Fantastic. Just getting myself organised here. Take this down just a little. I was wondering where I might stand, but I move around a little bit when I preach, so I didn't want to fall off the step, and I'm used to being a little bit closer in, so we're just getting ourselves sorted out here and organised, and we'll get that sorted out as well. Thank you for having me here today, and thanks to Chris, obviously, who invited me in. For 3 weeks, the good news about that is that if today goes well, you've got me for 3 weeks. The bad news is that if things don't go well today, you've got me for 3 weeks. Either way, you've got me for 3 weeks. So I'm really glad to be here. And it's also a bit of a novelty for Cass because often she's known, you know, she's the preacher's wife or the pastor's wife or whatever, but I'm Cassandra's husband today here at West Ryde because she's better known around the place than I am. So, that's where we sit. So things have changed a little bit for me this year, just in what I'm doing during the week. And for most of this year, I've been travelling out to Western Sydney for work. And there's a bit of a drive each day there and back, but it's not a bad commute because I get to have a little bit of a drive in the country as part of that. Some of that's quite rural. And I always will listen to stuff on the way through. I love music, so I'll often listen to some music on the way there and back, or I'll listen to a podcast, and sometimes I'll listen to the radio. Fairly often I'll listen to the radio. And one particular afternoon, a few weeks back, I happened to be listening to the radio, and they were talking to people who had been adopted, and they were talking to them about their stories, about their searches for their birth families, for finding the family that they'd originally been born into. It was just this fascinating discussion about them seeking that out and some of them meeting up along the way. And one woman called in and she told the story about how she, you know, carefully over time tried to track down her birth mother. And after a fair bit of research, and she's pushing into this for some time, she eventually found, she nailed it down to about 6 phone numbers that she thought might get her into contact with the family that she'd originally been born into. She found herself on the phone to a lady who turned out to be her birth grandmother. And so this woman on the other end of the line is saying, "So you're my daughter's daughter?" And this woman said, yes, I believe so, the daughter that was trying to make contact. And then this grandmother, her birth grandmother, when she knew that, she said, well, then I just want to tell you that I have been praying for you every day of your life. And at that point, I nearly had to kind of pull across to the side of the road and just have a bit of a moment, because it was quite emotional and very powerful to hear that. I've been praying for you every day of your life. So there's a whole lot tied up in that, and there were these stories that were shared in all of that. But there was also the whole thing about nature versus nurture. Are you aware about what that is? You know, people will say that the way we are and the characteristics and the mannerisms we have are more about the DNA in us, you know, the family of origin or whatever, or are they more about the families that we've grown up in, what we've experienced in life all along the way? And some of these people were a bit sceptical about the whole nature over nurture thing. And then some of them were sharing that their scepticism, their reluctance to believe in that was changed when they'd meet their families, because they'd find all these mannerisms and habits and things that, you know, with these people that they'd never met before. They'd been separated at birth or near birth. So the daughter that got in touch with her birth grandmother, she eventually gets on to her mum through this grandmother that she gets on to. Here's the number. They'd arranged to meet up, and the big day was coming, and she's obviously a bit nervous. What am I going to, you know, do I take something there or whatever? I'll get a bunch of flowers. So she gets a bunch of flowers for her mum. They meet up. Guess what mum turned up with? The exact same bunch of flowers. They must have got a Woolies or something like that and got the same bunch of flowers. So you kind of go, what's that? Was that coincidence or... is there some sort of inbuilt sense of, you know, like, yeah, we like the same sort of things or whatever? Anyway, it's still a great story. So why are we talking about adoptions and connections and reconnections with family this morning? Why are we starting there? Well, here's why. You see, the common theme for those who called in about their search for their adoptive parents and families was not so much about needing to find a family and be connected in with family. Many of them had... you know, had partnered up, they'd got married, they had kids, they had families of their own. So they didn't need that part of things filled up for them, most of them. So that wasn't the main thing. Rather, the main thing for many of them was about identity. It was the question of identity. It was about discovering where they'd come from. It was gaining a better sense of knowing who they really were, having some sense of where they belonged in the world and their origins as a person, you know, what they were born into, having some foundation there. And for most of these adoptees, that's what most fueled their desire to search for their original family. It was all about getting a better sense of their place in the world. Now, I reckon that's pretty interesting. My ears pricked up when this was going on and I was listening to this. Because here's why. I reckon that that search and that need and that hunger as human beings to really know who we are, to nail down and establish our identity as persons, is bedded down deep within us, that need to do that. And whether we were one of those adoptees, we're originally adopted into our families or not, there's just a deep desire in all of us as human beings to know who we really are, to know our true identity, to know where that's nailed down. And there's some reasons for that. Knowing who we are, having that solid sense of identity, gives us a sense of security, and it gives us a firm base for us to operate out of for all the rest of life, that base to work out from for the rest of life, how we interact with other people, what we do even as the people of God, as followers of Jesus. And too many people that I've known over the years, and you might know some of these people as well, they just struggle to live in healthy ways because of the insecurities that naturally and powerfully come when they haven't nailed down who they really are in the broader scheme of things. Does that make sense? As I say, you might have seen that. You might even know that for yourself. So, I mean, if people don't really know who they are, if they haven't got that solid identity of who they are, they're constantly looking around at others to get reflections back. They're looking in the mirror to find those. They're looking constantly looking over their shoulders, asking questions like these ones, asking, am I okay? Am I enough? Am I doing all right in life? Do I belong? Do I actually matter? People trying, sometimes desperately trying, to establish some sort of anchor for life in identity for themselves. And I see this among church people and Christians as well. And to be honest, really honest, I've seen it along the way in myself as well, asking those sorts of questions. Who am I? Who am I? Now, here's the thing. If we never get to the heart of this issue, at the very best, it means that we live life maybe not as healthfully or as wisely as we might otherwise. That's just the case. That's not so great. That's at the best. But at the worst, what it does is it leaves us bending ourselves out of shape. It leaves us bending ourselves, you know, bending over backwards, basically, trying to fit some sort of ideal of what we think a worthwhile person looks like. It can come to depend on what you do for a job. Your identity can be really bound up in that. It can come to depend on how you look. That's an epidemic in our society and in some way, you know, what you wear, where you live, how much money you have or how much money you earn, what your position is. It can mean constantly trying to please others to win their approval. Or it can mean falling into the trap of needing to perform to a certain level that satisfies ourselves and looks okay to others as far as, you know, that ideal might be. And this is not the life that God calls us to. Why? Well, apart from being completely exhausting, trying to hold that image up, perform, please people, whatever, it doesn't allow us to live who we really are. It doesn't fit in with who He made us to be. And that's not great because it impacts everything. It impacts how we relate to other people. It impacts how we're able to live out the way of Jesus in the kingdom of God. It impacts everything. You know, the other pressure for us is that the world we live in is always trying to give us messages, and they're mixed messages as well, about who we are and about what's worthwhile and everything. Have you noticed that? You know, it can be workmates or colleagues or people that, you know, part of your family or, you know, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, parents, whatever, lots of things, all putting their two cents in about how they see you or how they'd like to see you, how they'd like you to be. Whole lot of mixed messages. And then another thing that can happen is that the messages can change even from the same person. And so you have people, you know, well, I used to love you, but, well, now I'm not so sure. The message has changed. Or, yeah, you used to be my friend, but yeah, I'm kind of hanging with a different group now, so whatever. How confusing that is for us and how that impacts our hearts. It's just really hard with all those mixed messages. So all that to say, we as humans really need a solid base to work from. We really need to nail down who we are, proper sense of that, so that we can live like we were made to live. And if we have that base, it's so much easier to ignore all those other mixed messages and say, no, I'm not going to hear that because I know who I am and I know whose I am. So I'm not listening to those messages. That'd be good, wouldn't it? It'd be good to be able to do that. Well, the good news for us this morning is that the Bible has a lot to say about our identity. And that's because God Himself has so much to say to us, to speak over us about who we are. He says to us and gives us a sense of who we are in the whole cosmic scheme of things. And I've come to believe that if we truly get a hold deep in here of that without punching the microphone, who he says we are in here, in our hearts, it completely and utterly changes the way we look at our lives, but perhaps more even more importantly, the way that we live out our lives and interact with other people as we go on in life. So I just want to pray for us. We're kind of setting things up a bit this morning, and then next week and the week after, we're going to delve into this more deeply. But I just want to pray for us now, if I could, that today and over the next couple of weeks, that that God might just speak to us in this area and speak some stuff to us that we really need to hear, or that we need to hear again and reconnect with. So let me pray for us. So, Lord God, we give thanks that we can be here in this place this morning, and that we can hear from your scriptures, and we can hear from your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray and invite you into this space today. You're already here, but we invite you to impact our hearts and our lives today. Help our ears to be attuned to what you want to say to us. And I pray that our hearts would be encouraged and even changed in good ways from what you speak to us over this week and over the next couple of weeks. And we pray that in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're not going to go too far with this today, but I just want to set up a few things here today. So how do we get a hold of this identity thing? Where does it start? Well, it all starts with God. It begins with him. And that's a relief. I don't know about for you, but it's a relief for me that it doesn't all depend on me. I don't have to do stuff to kind of work this thing out. It starts with God. It starts with God. He begins it. And our whole stories start with him. So we're going to start just this morning by reminding ourselves what that looks like by talking a little bit about our origins, where it all got started for us. Now, I just want to say this morning, if you're here with us this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus, you may be just checking things out, you might be exploring, we're all exploring together here today. So I'd just say, even if you're not normally a person that prays, if you can just say to God, God, will you show me something today? Will you show me something over these weeks? And we're all in this together. We're all exploring together. So wherever you're at, let's just explore together. So, to our origins. Where does it all start? Well, according to the scriptures, this big story that God writes for us and gives us in the Bible, he made people. That's where it starts for us. He made the universe, he made the world and everything in it, and then he made people. We heard it in our reading before that Ray read for us. And from the very beginning, God made people to enjoy him and to enjoy his provision for them, what he'd made for them. So he placed them into a beautiful, bountiful garden. He gave them everything that they needed, everything. Nothing was lacking. But then Creator God made people not just to go off and play in the garden. He didn't just say, okay, I've made everything, I've made you, go off, there you go, I'm going on to other things. No, that's not how God did it. The Bible account is clear that God purposely created people for relationship. Relationship with each other, with other people, but for relationship with him as well as their creator. I mean, this is a completely different story than you will see in many other different, you know, religious kind of systems. This is God who created us for relationship with him. And so we pick up these hints in Genesis chapter 2. We're not reading that today, but if you do read that, you pick up hints in Genesis chapter 2, and then more directly in a verse or two in chapter 3, that God, the Creator, was in the habit of visiting, of walking in the garden in the cool of the day, as it's written in Scripture, with his created people. God walking with them. in a garden. Isn't that a brilliant picture? He probably walked with them and was present there at different times as well, but that's what we're told, at least that God was with them there in the cool of the day. Now, I don't know whether you've ever really thought about that before, but that is a brilliant picture of relationship and of intimacy with the God who created them. That's the picture of how we were created. So right alongside God's wonderful provision for them, providing everything, this beautiful garden and everything, they could see that and everything, they had everything that they would ever need. Right alongside that is this picture of this easy, natural, ongoing, daily relationship and intimacy with God himself. God with our ancient ancestors. Make no mistake, these people, these first people that God made, knew exactly who they were. They knew exactly who they were. They knew they were loved. They could see it all around them in the garden that God had created for them. His provision, his abundance, everything that they needed. They knew that they were significant. The creator of the heavens and the earth walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day. They absolutely knew who they were because God had set it up that way. I find in me a longing for that, that picture of that created time. I find in me a longing for that. Maybe you have that as well. I think we long for that garden, that original setup that God created. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 that we read before says, then God said, slightly different translation here than what was read, then God said, let us make human beings, mankind, in our image, in our likeness. Notice the plural there, in our image, in our likeness. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let us make human beings in our image and our likeness. And that's what he did. So God created them in his own image, in his own likeness. And he invited and included these human beings that he'd created into his circle of relationship. And that's where the plural comes in there. Because God is not a single person. God is a three-personed person. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is already in relationship. That's why he created us for relationship. That's why we need and desire and want relationship and community and all of that sort of stuff, because if God was not a relational being, we wouldn't desire that. We're made in his image. He's a relational person, a relational being of three persons. And so he creates people, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, invite woman and man into that circle of relationship with him. It's remarkable. And God saw all that he'd made, and it was very good. It's very good. These people, they were his, they were part of this. He was all for us, and they knew that. The only voice speaking into their lives with any authority at all was the voice of the one who mattered most, God himself. That was the voice that they could hear. And he said, you're mine, I made you, I love you, and I have provided everything you will ever need. I will be with you, I will meet with you, I will spend time with you, I will talk with you, because you are my cherished created ones, and we have invited you into relationship with us. It's the only voice speaking over them, only voice they can hear. Their identity is secure. They know exactly who they are, rock solid. That's their foundation. There were no other voices telling them otherwise at that point. Or at least until we get to Genesis chapter 3, which is only three chapters into the Bible. Chapter 3 of our origin story in Genesis. And we're not going into detail with that one today. But that was when another voice came. That was when another voice came into their lives for the very first time. And it was a very different voice than the voice of God speaking over them. It was a voice which questioned the goodness of God. A voice which for the first time in human existence caused people to question their identity, who they were, cuts to the core of who they were. And so this voice comes in, are you really his? Is he, God, really good? Does he really care for you? Does he have your best interests at heart? Is he holding out on you? Is there something you're missing out on that he's not telling you? That's the kind of voice that came in. Now, they'd never had to deal with this before. They'd never even doubted their place in the world until this other voice came. And it's a voice of questioning, and it's a voice of accusing, and it's a voice that tragically we've had to live with and do battle with in our hearts and in our minds ever since. It's the voice of an enemy, of one who is not for us. God is for us. He made us for relationship. He is for us. This other voice is not for us. We need to be very clear about that. And that was such a sad day for humanity, who literally had the whole world at their feet and lost it in a moment of deception and weakness when they listened to that other voice. And it was a day that something broke in God's brilliant creation, and the mirror that these first people had, which reflected back from God who they were, their identity, was shattered. And they lost that image. They lost that reflection in him. And it's the day that we began to question. It's the day we began to forget who we actually are. That was the day we experienced doubt. That nagging feeling that something was not right, that we'd been somehow orphaned, separated from our real parentage and heritage. But it happened. And you know, God allowed it to happen because right from the start, he gave us a choice. God didn't want people that were forced to love him. He gave us free choice. It was a choice to listen to his voice and have our identity based in who he said we were, or it was a choice to listen to an enemy and forever struggle with knowing who we really are. And so sadly, that's the reality we found ourselves in back then, and it's the reality we still struggle with and live in today. But here's the thing with God. He's eternal, and unlike us, he has a whole lot of patience. And when God's decided to do something, he follows through on it. He made people for relationship with him, and he wasn't just going to leave it all shattered and wrecked. And so although the humans who he created and who he loved said no to him, no, we've decided not to listen to your voice, God, and basically give up on you in that sense, God never gave up on us. God never gave up on us. And you know, right from Genesis 3, that is the story of the whole of the Bible. That is the story of Scripture. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it that way before, but it's like God has given us this book, this message to say, yep, I know things got messy. If you've read the Scriptures or read much of the Scriptures, you'll know it's very clear about the mess. And I know that you guys gave up on me. You made some bad choices and things got broken. I know all that. And I know you really struggle now even to know who you really are. But here, read this story. Read this story and see, I never gave up on you. I never gave up on you. And you can still know and live who you really are, because you still have the choice. Choice was not taken away from you in the garden. And he says, if you'd like to know more about that, we'll keep reading. Keep seeking. And so eventually, because God is infinite and really patient, after a really, really long, long time, particularly for us in human terms, we reach the New Testament scriptures and we meet Jesus. We meet Jesus. And in Jesus, for the first time properly since Genesis chapter 3, we have the chance to discover properly again who we really are. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to sit with that. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, and with the help of the Apostle Paul and his brilliant letter to the Ephesians, we're going to unpack that a little bit more and see our identity, I guess, reinstated in the things that God has begun and done for us. Because this letter to the Ephesians was also a letter to us. And it's a letter which helps us to understand in heart and in mind who we really are, in who Jesus is, and in what God began, what he started. Because I believe that our hearts long for this in some way, like those adoptees longed to find their birth families, to establish their identity and who they really are. I believe our hearts long for that. I also believe that if we get a hold of this stuff in here, we have an opportunity to live our lives the way that God originally designed us to live. To actually live who we are. Not only for our sakes, but for the sake of our world, his world. More next week. But let me just pray for us as we finish off today. So, our Lord God, we thank you for the story of our origins. We thank you for the power of story. And Lord, we thank you for the longing within us that sometimes pops up when we see a particular movie or read a particular book or hear another story, and we hear echoes of your story. And we have a longing for that, the way it was in the garden. Lord God, I pray that we won't ignore that. I pray, Lord, that we might feel that longing and feel that hunger to head back towards what you created us to be. And Lord, I pray that we might hear the words of Scripture and hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit to know that in Jesus we can again learn to live out of who we really are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, this week, over the next couple of weeks of all of this. I pray that you would bring to mind things along the way, that we would hear things that would prompt us to this. And I pray, Lord, over the next couple of weeks, as we look into this, as we dig into this, that you would continue to show us and teach us what each one of us needs to hear, because we're all different people and we're all in different places with you. And so we pray for this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to finish with a song.